So here's one from Henry Good in 1963. He says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart, this is a truth for each one of us today. The enemy would have us so busy that the work of God would take a secondary place. This is contrary to the word of God. We must purpose in our hearts to put God first in all things and ourselves last. Life is too short to be self-centered. We must keep alive unto God and let his goodness flow forth to others." That's an awesome, awesome statement. That's something that could be that we could say over and over again, right? The idea that lives are too busy to be engaged in the things of God is something we constantly talk about now, and yet that's 1963 that was written. Pretty staggering to be able to do that. And so this year we're celebrating 65 years, and we're going to try to do that in different ways to allow you to be able to interact with that and hopefully share a little bit about what it means to be part of what God is doing through the SEMC as a church family. For us as a church, and I want to do a couple of things really quickly, for us as a church, where we sit now going forward is important. Having an anniversary isn't only about what has happened in the past, it's about what the past has done to shape us to as we go forward. And so in all we say and do, we want to glorify God, our Creator, who brings about life change and transformation, to love God completely and to love others sacrificially and unconditionally. And you'll see on your bulletin, you'll see in the foyer, you'll see in different ways, on different things that we post, we try to bring this reminder to everything that our desire is to partner with God in developing genuine, fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. What does that mean and how do we do it? For some of you, you might have seen this before. Others of you, this might be new, but hopefully you feel it rather than know it. And that our through and through all of this is the idea of constant prayer and seeking God, but that we want to love seekers, inviting them to come and see Christ, to build believers, encouraging them to grow in Christ, equipping workers, releasing them to serve like Christ, and multiplying leaders, training them to lead like Christ. That's what we want to do. And sometimes now, as we continue to move forward in this vision that God has given to us, all of these things overlap at the same time, which is really cool. And we want to continue pressing forward in that. And so I want to share with you just for a few minutes from God's word in 3 John. So if you have a Bible you want to turn there, that's great. It's not online. Just something I want to share with you just really briefly. You can pick it up if you have YouVersion. You can get on to just read. Look it up on the Bible there. If you're using the Bibles on the pew, I have no idea what page it is, but if you're open it from the back, Revelation, then Jude is a one-page letter. 3 John is a one-page letter as well. So it's right near the end of your Bible. And I just want to share with you three things that I want you to remember. And it would be my prayer, our prayer for us as a church family. 3 John goes like this, "The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." I love those verses. Those verses, to me, encapsulate so much. In fact, those verses, they kind of set a theme for this very short letter, a theme that is underlined or underscored by this word about this idea about the truth. And so if you're like me, and sometimes in your Bibles, you kind of underline things, here's a good way to kind of get the outline of this a little bit. Each section starts, each of these new sections starts with the idea of dear friend, but it ends with, in this first part in verse 4, that my children are walking in the truth. And then verse 5 starts, dear friend, and then verse verse 8 says, we ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that maybe we may work together for the truth. And then over in verse 11 is another section that says, starts, dear friend, and it ends in verse 12. And it says, Demetrius was well spoken of everyone, and even by the truth itself. So there's something that's really important to John as he writes about this idea of truth. And he wants to share that. He wants to make sure that his friend, Gaius, understands this, that walking in the truth is important, that partnering with others according to the truth is important, and reflecting the truth in your own life is important. To walk in the truth really talks about the idea of direction. It talks about pace, and it talks about action. It is purposeful. It is active as you go through, and it's the pace is being set by, the direction is being set by the truth of God. You might think, for those of you who've been here for the last few months, as we went through the book of Ephesians, we kind of talked about the same idea in terms of the Spirit. That same sense was given as Paul wrote to the Ephesians of the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit. In the same sense, the Spirit of God and the truth of God work together to help us to become the people, the men and women, the boys and girls who desire to follow after God. And so we keep in step with what does God's word say. So when we're up against something, when we're confused about something, our first question should not be, what do my Facebook friends say about how to deal with this? But what does God's word say about this? Is our first instinct to go to God's word. What does God's word have to say about this particular issue? And it's amazing how as we take time, and sometimes it takes a lot of courage to take steps that are founded upon God's word, it's amazing how when we keep in step with his truth, how he honors that and glorifies that in our lives. And we see then that he is real. Too often we try to make decisions that are apart from God's word, and then we wonder, where is God in all of this? Well, maybe it's because we've headed off in a different direction than the truth was leading us into, and we can't see them. But the good news for that is that one of the biggest ideas of his truth is that forgiveness is there. And when we come to God to ask for forgiveness and we demonstrate repentance, it turns us around. And he's there then to guide us and walk with us all the more. To walk in the truth is so important. It's one of the three big things that John wanted to communicate. I love to hear that your children are walking in the truth. And he's writing it, many think, to a church. And he's talking about the people who belong to that church family, that they have this testimony that they are following God according to God's truth. That's a pretty cool thing. That's a pretty daunting thing. It's a difficult thing. You know, one of the dangers of having a service of remembrance and anniversary is we think, oh, we miss those traditions. And there are some traditions that are beneficial, that's for sure. But our ultimate guide is not tradition. Our ultimate guide is God's truth. And that's important for us to keep in mind. The second thing that Paul says is, I want you to partner in the truth. I want you to work together with others in the truth. And what happened in their day is that there were people who would kind of come and go as the gospel was spreading. People kind of travel through and stay for a day or two at a time. And and there were some this church had this reputation of being hospitable, of welcoming those who were coming through, of forming these partnerships, working together for the sake of the gospel. Even though they didn't have very much of a history relationally on a human level, they united together on a spiritual level, united by Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes we can learn a lot from that, and we can sometimes need correction on that, where we might make decisions about doing something based on who might be there, who not be there, rather than thinking about, where is Jesus in all of this? And one of the benefits that we are continuing to learn about in our community here in this present time is the value, the importance of partnering with kingdom-minded people for the sake of the gospel. And over the course of these years, we have sought to establish relationship and promote relationship with other churches in our city, other ministries in our country, other missions in our world that allow us to see God at work and help us to participate in it instead of it all being on us. And it's been hard and it's been good. And those who have engaged in that, whether in whatever level, they are challenged in their faith with God, but they recognize that God is at work. As we work together according to the truth, not according to our comfort, not according to our preference, not according to our traditions, but according to the truth of God. What does God desire from us? Let's work together with those who share that same desire. And then the third thing that God says is that your life would reflect the truth. He gives this example in between of one who didn't, because it wasn't going his way, was putting people out. But then he says, here's Demetrius, here's this guy, and his life reflects the truth. You want to talk about the truth? He lives the truth. And so it becomes much more personal. And the idea that is really what's at stake. And so is the truth of God alive in me? Is the truth of God what is informing my decisions? Is the truth of God what helps me? Is the truth of God what brings me to repentance to make me change? Or do I dig my heels and say, I'm going to do it this way, and God, you're going to have to just wait on that? And so does the truth of God have freedom to work in our lives, and do others see that? What a reputation this guy has. That the truth of God was evident in his life. People saw that with him. And I wonder if that is the same for us. I wonder if that's even a thought that we have. Do people see your truth alive in me? Do they see Jesus, the Word of God, alive in my life? Shine brightly in my life, Lord. Shine your light through me. And so that idea of integrity, of just that firm commitment to stick to God's truth, to demonstrate that in your, not just in your church. And here's what it doesn't say. Here's what it doesn't say. It gives me a great thrill to see that your people are attending church, or your people understand religion. It doesn't say that. It talks about walking according to the truth. It talks about partnering according to the truth, and talks about having an integrity that is based on the truth. It's that interaction. Is it changing? Not are we doing certain things, but is the work of Christ doing his work in us? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit the opportunity to work in and through us? That's a huge, huge piece that we need to keep in mind. And so how have we been kind of doing that? How have we been trying to engage in that? And so having had the opportunity to serve in as part of this church family and in this role for 11 years and most of the last 12 years in some kind of leadership capacity, here's some of the truth that we have, God's truth that we have endeavored to shape ourselves according to, allow people to walk according to. And I'm just going to go through this quickly for us, just to kind of recap, maybe challenge, and so you won't be able to write this down or read any of it. Maybe you will, but if you do, good for you. If not, don't try to keep up. I think 12 years ago, we started with this idea from Jeremiah chapter 29 about investing in the city. We're investing right where we're at, to build houses, to plant gardens, to bless the city, to pray for the city, to be involved in our community. That's where we started. That's the truth of God that was revealed to us. And as we pray each year, we've added pieces to these blocks. And so we were kind of building this foundation upon this foundation of truth upon which we launch and engage ministry. Then in Luke chapter 4, In Luke chapter 4, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then in Isaiah chapter 58, talking about sharing your food with the hungry. "Is this not the fasting that I desire? To share your food with the hungry and provide for the poor wanderer with shelter. And when you see the naked, to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood." And then it says that your light will break like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. That there's an engagement with those who we would not readily engage with, that God desires for us to engage with. And then in Zechariah, we said, administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. In your hearts, do not think evil of each other. In Mark chapter 14, we talked about the idea of generosity. No matter what we have, we are to be generous with one another, first to the Lord and then to others. And the example of the woman who anointed Jesus. In Psalm 36, they talked about the idea of righteousness and faithfulness of God and the changing of justice. Just as the waves hit the shore in a different way every time, there's a rhythm to it, there's a cycle to it, but it looks differently every time. The importance of engaging in justice in our community. And that's been a prayer for us through the course of these years as well. Deuteronomy chapter 10 talks about defending the cause of the fatherless and the widow, to love the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. You're to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners. To never forget that we all are equal in terms of being sinners. Some of us are sinners who have recognized the grace available to us, and we have received by this gift of salvation, this grace. Others are sinners waiting to be freed from that, and may we never forget. May we never forget to extend that to others among us. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the importance of, as families, as family units, everything, just kind of like this last piece, this of having integrity, reflecting the truth in our lives. As we go through the day, God's truth should be paramount among us. In Mark chapter 13, the idea of sharing God's word, even if we can't control how it's going to be responded to, but our commitment, our responsibility is to share God's truth with others in the hope that God will bring a yield that is much larger than we can expect. It's not us, but it's we're trusting in God and his word and his spirit to be at work in the lives of people. We are committed. We are making this commitment to continuing to share that with others over a long journey. And then a verse that we're going to talk a little bit about in a few weeks' time, but Isaiah chapter 6, the understanding of we all have this responsibility. God has this desire to see people to come to know him, but he's looking for people who are willing to go. And so is that us? And then in Matthew chapter 6, last year in 2016, these were our theme verses for last year, from the Lord's Prayer. And to continue to place ourselves in this, our Father, to pray that prayer, our Father, together, and to understand that God is the one who is our provider. And he asks us to also, as he has forgiven our sins, as he initiates love, as he initiates forgiveness, so ought we then to be ready to give that to others. And then this year, our theme verses for this year are the Great Commission, found in Matthew chapter 28. And over the next few weeks, we're going to unpack that a little bit more over these next 6 weeks with what does it mean for us in the series that we'll be starting. I'm going to intro it next week, and then we'll be starting it in earnest in 2 weeks' time. And so this is the truth. God's truth, as we pray about these verses and we set them in place, they set the tone for the messages that we bring on a Sunday. They inform the decisions that we make, the ministries. We see God raise people up to accomplish different things, and they have this desire. And so even as we have set these verses ahead and prayed about these verses for these last few months, we see already this desire for people to understand what it means. And it's pretty exciting, and look forward to what God's going to do continuing through us over these next 5 weeks. I hope that you don't miss it. I hope that, and if you do, I hope that you are take the initiative to catch up with it. But I really am excited about what God can do with us as we pay attention to his word, to learn to walk with his truth, to partner with others according to his truth, and then to live his truth out with integrity. Wouldn't that be exciting? That's really exciting. So you know why that's exciting to me? One of the things that's exciting for me, and you may not get to I know sometimes you don't necessarily aren't afforded this opportunity, but to know that as we gather, God is at work in people among you. I know that to you, they may look the same day in and day out, every week in and week out. Oh, there's that person. But do you know that God's at work in many people? And I love that. And as we purpose ourselves to walk with people over a long period of time, it's exciting to see what God does and what God is doing. And to stay the course in that, to continue to walk by the truth and see how God helps people to conform the truth and work through stuff. And so I want to have a story shared with you this morning that kind of reflects all of that to me. And so I'm going to ask Erin to come up, and she's going to share her story with us. Thanks, Erin.
Okay. Hi. Everybody hear me? Okay. So I'm just going to read off this, because then I don't have to actually look at y'all and think that I'm up publicly speaking. So Dave earlier this week asked me if I would share my story. So my first thought of that was a necklace I was just given a couple of years ago through a pretty yucky stage of my life, and that necklace said, "The world is waiting to hear your story." Now, as much as I might not be the first person to want to be up here or share that story, God has reassured me time and time again that my story is his. So today I just want to share with you a little bit of what God's story in my life is and how this church has helped strengthen me in my walk with Jesus. Exodus 14:14 says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." This verse I consider my life verse. To me, a life verse is what speaks to our life directly. Every one of us has those questionable days, weeks, months, even years, when the burden of life seems to defeat us. In life, I see now, when I'm not fighting this life alone, I defeat so much more. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Throughout my 34 years, God has proven this time and time again to place me exactly where I should be, accomplishing whatever I should be, whatever my purpose is for that day, that month, that year. What I know is that it's not about who we are fighting, but who we are fighting beside. So a little bit about me personally. I was born to two loving parents, parents who continue to show me strength and love, patience, unconditionally. My dad's away in Connecticut, but he is my best friend. However, family life wasn't the greatest growing up. They both struggled with an alcohol addiction, and I think because of their own upbringings, I have pretty old parents. My dad's 75, so he was upbrought by a German family who didn't show a lot of love and affection and weren't very present. So I think that between him and my mom, having their parents not emotionally or physically present in their lives, made it a little bit harder to be that for me. Neither of them were Christians. However, I was baptized in the United Church at 2 months old on October the 10th, 1982. During the time that I lived with my parents, my mom would dress us both up. I can remember as a little girl, and we would attend Easter Sunday church, sometimes Christmas. But if any of you who knows what addiction is and what that looks like firsthand, you'll understand that the holidays aren't always the best. But those moments being in Sunday school and hearing those people preach about how much God loved me and, you know, there was a purpose in my life, it really brought some of those nasty times a little bit of light. As a preteen, I was introduced to Sea Cadets and Alateen all in the same year. God continued to show himself through those things. Alateen, if you don't know, is an Al-Anon program for teenagers. So it follows the 12-step program of what Alcoholics Anonymous is, but for a support group. God showed himself in those 12 steps, and I can't give you the tools and leadership I found through a cadet program, just so many. Then there was a season in my life where some pretty yucky stuff happened. And if you would have asked me 2 years ago, and some of you who have gotten to know and love in this church know that story, that's not my story anymore. and this story specifically would be much longer. But God has shown me that that season does not define who I am. God defines who I am. 3 years later, when I was 16 years old, I participated in a Rejon awareness program to the Dominican Republic, which was from March 13th to March 20th. And just a side note, those are the two birth dates of my daughters. I knew after that trip, I no longer would wear my tragedies as shackles, but my tragedies were my armor. I met my wonderful and supportive husband 12 years ago. Within a few years, we were married and had our son, Brody, and we blended our families. It wasn't long after that I was saved, October the 11th in 2009. So if you remember, I was baptized October the 10th as a two-month-old baby, so it was something that I kind of just found out in this last little bit, going through some old stuff and looking for my baptismal certificate. So God does show himself in my story, and I just find that so amazing. As what the church family has done for me, it was about spring 2011, after a not-so-great religious experience at another church, that I walked past this sign, and the sign said, "It's God, are you coming in?" Something that, to that matter. So I thought, we should try that. We should go in there and see what this is about. I have a passion in my heart for our community, and the SEMC shines its light in so many places. It's been a blessing to be a part of a compassion trip to El Salvador, the Upward Basketball Program, and ABC. This church family together shines a pretty bright light, and what a blessing it is to be a part of it. So quickly, just some exciting news, what God's doing in my life right now. For the past 8 years, I've been able to walk and serve alongside my grandfather, who comes from North Atlanta, and they do a short-term mission trip on Kathleen Ave. Where a group of teens come from North Atlanta and just really like run a daycare camp and love on the kids and share their love for Jesus, and so many beautiful things have happened. So while God's shining their lights here on Kathleen Ave, I have had the privilege to get to know a group of young ladies who have planned a trip to Atlanta to be part of something called Restoration Atlanta, or RATL. And it's going to be a 3-day mission program that we're going to participate in. And those girls are actually the first group of girls, I just spoke with the pastor that is the director there, that have ever been interested in this program that come out of poverty. All of their volunteers are churches and youth groups and et cetera. So this is the first time they've had the experience in over 7 years that girls coming out of poverty want to work with their girls. So what RATL is a shelter that works with women and children who are homeless. So I'm really in hopes that that inspires some of these girls to break some of those generational strongholds that they have. So also this year, God willing, Kayla and I are going to participate in the El Salvador trip with shelter. And that's really exciting because it's not something that I jumped on board for, but it's something that Kaylee really wanted to be a part of, so I'm excited to serve and walk alongside her. Where is God in my story? God is my story. God is love. Jesus has walked beside me, sometimes carried me through the craziest of storms, but he does provide. We all have different stories, but I bet eternity that when we are following Jesus, our stories can become full of grace.
Thank you. Thanks so much.